It is so very good to see everybody who is here this morning. We have two announcements that we forgot to make this morning that are announcements of joy. Colton and Savannah got married yesterday. And then Chrissy Dees and Jacob Reeves got married the day before that. And so... we have three of the young people that have worshiped with us for years while they were going to Harding. They got married yesterday, and so we are happy for them. You see that you have a three-page sermon outline in front of you. Do not be disturbed. The sermon is going to be this morning and tonight. And so if you have your outline, I'd like to encourage you to bring it back with you tonight because we're not going to go through the entire text this morning. We're going to start here, though, in the opening text of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. This text is going to be the base text around which we're going to build the sermon this morning and the sermon this evening. And all we're going to be doing is taking this text and literally breaking it down a phrase at a time so that we can come to understand what is involved with walking as children of light. But let's go to the very first phrase here, and that is, for you were once darkness. As you go back to Ephesians in the fourth chapter and in verse 17 through 21, he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Now, before we go any further, we need to talk about the verb walk. Walk is a lifestyle. Walk is the way you are living from moment to moment to moment. A step is not walking. Walking is a continual process of moving one step after another, going in a direction. And so we're talking about your lifestyle. And it's talking here about how at one time in our life, we were walking in darkness. We were walking as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And he says, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. We want to stop and look at this phrase for a moment. Having their understanding darkened. You need to understand that what Satan wants for you is first of all to go to hell with him. And the way he wants to keep you with him going there is to get you to the point and keep you to the point to where you don't understand. You don't understand reality about God. You don't understand the reality about sin and what it has done to your relationship with God. You don't understand the reality about judgment and hell and heaven. You don't understand the reality about Jesus and who he is and what his sacrifice was for you. You don't understand reality about how to become a Christian. Satan wants to keep you, as the text says here, darkened. Your understanding darkened to where you just don't see. Because if he can keep you to where you do not see in your understanding, he will keep you in darkness with him. Going further, he says, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, I want you to notice how he's basically saying the same thing different ways. Having their understanding darkened is the same thing as because of their ignorance. They don't know. There are people out in the world who, when Jesus describes them in the parable of the sower, he calls them the wayside soil. And the wayside soil is the seed that is sown, and the birds of the air come and eat it, and it does not take root. The birds of the air eating the seed there, when he explains the parable, is Satan coming and taking the word of God out of the person's mind as quickly as possible to where it's not allowed to sink in and take root. Please understand this. God does not want you to know the truth. I mean, Satan does not want you to know the truth. God wants you to know it. Satan does not want you to understand what the truth is. He wants you spiritually ignorant. Because when you are spiritually ignorant, you are spiritually blind. And he says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Now, this is where we all were at one time. At one time in our lives, we were walking in darkness. At one time in our lives, we did not understand. At one time in our lives, we were spiritually ignorant. And in that state of mind, while you are walking in that state of mind, the text says here in conclusion, your past feeling. The idea of being past feeling is that when you do sin, you don't care. You feel no guilt. You feel no godly sorrow. You feel no shame. And so guess what? He's going to keep doing it. And you have no intentions of stopping doing it. That's walking in darkness. You're not allowing the truth to control your understanding. You're not allowing your truth to open your eyes to where you are spiritually. And so as a consequence, you don't care. I'm just going to keep living in sin. Ephesians says in chapter 4, 17 through 21, continuing, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now please slow down and look at this verse. It's talking about learning Christ. When you learn Christ and you learn the way he lived and the way we're supposed to live by looking to his example, you've heard him, you're hearing the word, you're seeing the truth, you've been taught by him, because the truth is in Jesus. Do you see this text here? It's talking about truth. It's talking about hearing. It's talking about being taught. It's talking about learning. This is what is required of everybody who's going to become a Christian. You've got to learn. You've got to hear. You've got to be taught. And you've got to be taught the truth. You've got to hear the truth. You've got to let the truth in. The truth about God, the truth about Jesus, the truth about your sin that you're walking in. The truth about hell, the truth about heaven, the truth about how to be saved through Christ. You've got to hear it. You've got to receive the seed. You've got to be willing to be taught and to open your eyes to reality. He says in John chapter 12, 35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. Now look at the last part of the verse. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. If you are walking in darkness and walking in sin, and it is your lifestyle, you may think you know where you're going. You may think you know what you're doing. And you may actually convince yourself this is the right way to go. This is good for me. It's going to turn out really good in the end. The way that is put in Proverbs is there's a way that seems right, but the end of it is death. It is with the Word of God that we come to understand what is the right way. Do you remember what Jesus said about himself in John 14, 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come unto the Father except through me. Jesus has come to give us the truth. And when we see the truth, now we have the light. And with light, you can see where you are and understand where to go and how to get where you're going. Has anybody here ever walked into a bedroom, your bedroom at night, and you thought, I don't need to turn on the lights. This is my bed. Oh, yeah, I did that a few days ago. I think I broke one of my toes then, not now. But yeah, and it was in the middle of, I know where I am, this is my bed. Oh! Spiritually, when you are in darkness, you may think, I'm going the right way, and ow! I'm hurting! My life is messed up! It's falling apart! Why? You're in darkness. You don't know where you're going. Getting back to the text here. In John 3, 19 through 20. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Yeah, I'm going to go here. In our Bible class this morning, we were talking about the prodigal son. The congregation here knows this about me. There was a time in my life when I was a prodigal son. I left God. However, during that time in my life, when I was back in Grenada, I'd go to worship service with my parents. And I came up with this phrase at that time in my life. Every time I went to worship service with my parents, I felt like I was having a guilt whipping. And it was like, okay, I'll go. And I'm sitting there hearing the sermon. It's like, oh, boom, 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 boom. You know, there are some folks who don't come to worship services because simply they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to face up to the reality of where they are. That's what the text is talking about here. There's people who love darkness rather than light. They are in sin. They have no intentions of turning from sin. Okay, you taught me in coming to worship services. Boom, there's a preacher saying again. Because their deeds are evil and they have no intentions of stopping doing it. I'm glad I kept going with my parents. Because finally, I opened my eyes and realized where I was and came home. So if you're being hit this morning by guilt whippings, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you the truth. It would really be good now if you would open your eyes and come to yourself and see where you are. And don't run from the light because it's exposing where you are. Going over to Acts 26, 18. It says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, I want to go back and I want to break this text down with you. Opening your eyes. As again, you open your eyes and you see. I see where I am. The prodigal son came to himself. He saw where he was. He was in the pig pen. He understood how he got there, and he understood now because he could see what he needed to do was get up and go home. God wants everybody to open your eyes. But notice this. In order to turn you from darkness to light. But when he's talking about turning you from darkness to light, he's talking about the darkness is from the power of Satan to God. That's saying the same thing two different ways. Being turned from darkness is being turned from the power of Satan. What I learned from this verse is the one who has the power over darkness who's trying to keep you in darkness is Satan. Satan wants to keep you in ignorance. Satan wants to keep you without understanding. Satan does not want you to come to a knowledge of the truth because he wants you in darkness with him. He's the one who has the power over that realm. He's the one trying to keep you there. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. Satan doesn't want that. And inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Satan is doing everything he can to keep you from this. Everything. He does not want you to see. He does not want you to receive the truth. He does not want you to hear. He does not want you to believe. He does not want you to have faith and be saved. Realize that right now about him and his desire for you. Going further with this, in Ephesians chapter 6, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, notice this, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. All right, first reality I want everybody here, to just sink in. Satan is real. He is not a mythical make-believe Christian boogeyman. He is a real spiritual being. He is spiritual wickedness in high places. And he has power. We're against power here, the power of Satan. Look at this again in Colossians 1, 12 through 13. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Look at what I've got in yellow tint for you here. He's talking about how we have the ability to be saints in light. Everybody here who is Christians, at one point in time, you were under the power of darkness. Again, who has the power of darkness? Who is that talking about? Satan. You've got to let this sink in the sermon. There is Satan and there is God. There is light and there is darkness. And those are the only two. There is no shade of gray in there. There is no shadow territory where you can lurk. There is light and there is darkness. There is Satan, there is God. There is heaven and there is hell. And that's it. Please wake up to reality. This is not a myth. This is the world we were born into. Satan is real. He is trying to keep you in spiritual ignorance from God so that you will end up in hell with him for all eternity. That is not some mythological scary story we're trying to scare you with. We're trying to tell you the truth. He is real. This battle is real. And God delivers us from the power of darkness. When you come to receive the truth, believe the truth, and obey the truth, you are conveyed out of the power of darkness over into the kingdom of the Son of His love. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Okay. Darkness. Absolute darkness. Has anybody here ever been to Carlsbad Caverns? Yeah, I see a few of you. Okay. They probably did the same thing for you they did for us. They got us down under the earth in Carlsbad Caverns in this great big cavern, and they turned off the lights. Do you remember that? And they said, okay, put your hand in front of your face. And you put your own hand right in front of your face, and you cannot see your own hand right in front of your face. And then on the other side of the cavern, they light one match, just one match, and it lights the entire cavern. Satan is absolute darkness. There is no light in him. And when you are going to be in hell, it is described as outer darkness. No light for all eternity. You will be with the one who has the power over darkness, and you will be with him in outer darkness for eternity if he has his way with you. Wake up! He's real, and he's after every one of us and all mankind. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And now that we understand that's the starting point of light, John 8:12, Jesus said, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. And the idea is, if you follow him, you will be able to see what you are, where you came from, where you're going, and how to get there. I want to do something with you before I go any further. I want you to imagine that you know nothing about the Bible. You're absolutely ignorant of the Bible. And I want you to answer these five questions with me. What are you? Don't use the Bible. Quit it. Stop. Second question, where'd you come from? Third question, what's death? Fourth question, is there anything beyond death? Fifth question, how should I live my life to get the very most out of it? Without the Bible, my answer to those questions is, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. You see, it is with the truth of the Bible I come to understand I am a human being, created in the image of God, created by God. There's the first two questions. Death is a separation of the body and the spirit. I come to understand what I am and what I'm made up of. And I come to understand through the Word of God, there is existence beyond death. There is heaven and there is hell. And I'm going to be in one of those two. And I learn from the Word of God how to live my life now to get the most out of it, and how I live my life to be forgiven of sin and to go to heaven and not go to hell. All of that is done through the truth. Jesus is the light. He is showing us the way to avoid hell. He is showing us the way to heaven. He is giving us eternal life through being the light of the world. And if we follow him, look at the last part of this, you're not going to walk in darkness. You're going to be walking in the light. And notice the last part, but I have the light of life. Do you know that if you take a plant and you put it in a dark place where there is no light, it dies? When he says, I have the light of life, he is talking about eternal life. If you desire to have eternal life, you can't be in darkness. You'll die. You have to come to the light. And the light is Christ. John 12, now 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. And I stopped right there. Believing in the light is believing that Jesus is telling the truth when he says he is the light, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He's telling us the truth, and we believe this about him to the point to where now we become children of light by our faith. He says these things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But what I want you to see right here now is this believing in the light, having faith in Jesus, so that you can become, look at this phrase, sons of light. 1 John 1, 6 or 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This is what we're trying to do. Realizing God is light, Jesus is the light of the world, then we are striving to walk in the light. And the light is the Word of God showing us where we are, what we are, where we're going, how to get there. When you walk into a dark room, what do? You turn on the light so you can see where you are, see where you're going, and how to get there. God is the light. His Son is the light. His Word is light. All of this is to show us how to get where we're going, so we can see how to walk. And when you walk in the light, you're not going to walk in darkness. Walking in darkness is walking in sin. Walking in the light is walking in the holiness of God. Walking in the purity of God. Let's go further with this. Romans chapter 13, 12 through 14. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's repentance. That's the transformation that is taking place in the lives of all Christians. We're casting off any darkness that is in our life. And when you go into the Word of God and you look into the spiritual mirror of the Word of God, you're going to be seeing where you are spiritually. And when you see impurity, when you see unholiness, when you see darkness, when you see sin, you put it off. And then you put on the armor of light. That armor of light you're putting on is Christ. Going back to Romans, it says here, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. I just stop for a moment, folks. What is the way of the world right now as you're looking at the world around you? How is the world around you feeling about revelry? Party, 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 yeah. It's Monday, let's party. It's Tuesday, let's party. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's your birthday. It's the weekend. You're alive, party. Let's get drunk, let's get high, let's party. Go for all the gusto. It doesn't get any better than this. That's the world, folks, okay? We realize all that. We live in this world. We know that's the way the world is. How about lewdness and lust? Yes, we're in a sex-crazed world, folks. Absolutely sex-crazed world. Okay, that's the world. There are folks who walk this way. Literally, every day is the day to party. Every day is a day to dive into lewdness and lust and just roll in it. And then have all kinds of strife and fighting and envy and hatred. That's darkness. That may be what we walked in time past, but we've put that off. And we have put on the armor of light. We're putting on Christ. And the text says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. See that? You're putting on the armor of light. And who you're putting on is you're putting on Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust is the idea of, yeah, I'm planning this. I'm going to go this way in the future. I've got it here. I'm going to do this after I get off work. And after I get off work, I'm planning to get drunk. I'm planning to get high. I'm planning to revel and roll in all kinds of immorality. I'm planning it and I'm making provisions for it before it even gets here. Don't make provisions for the flesh. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Put off the darkness. Understand what the darkness is by looking at the truth of where you are by the light of the Word of God. It will show you where you are. It will expose the sin that is there and the darkness that is there. Put it off and put on Christ and walk in the light as he is in the light. The text says, going to 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 or 4 through 5, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now look at this phrase here. You're all sons of light. You're sons of the day. Let's tie this all together. John 12, 36. You believe in the light that you may become sons of light. I was telling you earlier about the parable of the sower. And the seed that goes on the wayside ground, the birds of the air that are coming and taking the seed before it even has a chance to take root. That's Satan. And when people are hearing the word and they hear the preacher preach the truth, and Satan is doing everything he can to get it out of your mind, get it out of your heart as quick as you can, there's going to be folks this morning that may be wanting to get out of the building as quick as I can. And then get out of my mind what the preacher said. I don't want to think about that. You got to realize Satan is the one doing that to you. He doesn't want you to see the truth. He doesn't want you to let it sink in. He does not want you to believe. He does not want you to be saved. He wants to keep you in darkness with him. The battle is real. The enemy is real. God wants you to receive the word, to let it in. To believe, to have faith, to open your eyes to the reality of sin and what it has done to your relationship with God. And God wants you to come to the point of faith to where when you obey the gospel, he can transfer you out of the power of darkness where you are now and convey you over into the kingdom of the Son of his love so you can be saved and have eternal life. But notice what we're called here, sons of God. Of light. 1 Thessalonians, the text we just read, you're all sons of light and sons of the day. Our opening text was Ephesians 5 and 8. But now you are a light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Children of light, sons of light, sons of light, sons of the day. This was the introduction. Aren't you so glad that I decided not to do the entire sermon in one setting? You're welcome. But please, I implore you, come back and hear the rest of the sermon tonight. Because tonight we're going to be going into the rest of the text here of Ephesians 5:8. And we're going to be studying exactly now, specifically, what is involved with walking as children of light. The sermon this morning was to try to bring you to the consciousness of the reality of Satan and him having the power over darkness and him trying to keep you in darkness where you don't have understanding, to where you are spiritually ignorant, to where you have no shame about sin that you may be involved in with no intentions of getting out of it. He's going to do everything he can to keep you in darkness, to where you die in darkness. God, who is light, wants you to come to the light so you can see the truth about yourself, the truth about the way to be saved, so that you can become sons of light, children of light. And then when you are a child of light, to learn how to walk in the light as he is in the light. Tonight we're going to dive in deeply into that to fully comprehend and understand what is involved with walking as children of light. What is involved with walking in the light as he is in the light. But for now, I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here who is not in Christ yet, it is our hope for you and our desire for you that you would receive the seed of the Word of God, that you would come to believe that Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of God, and then be willing to confess your faith and motivated by the faith that you now have to follow the Word of God. And as you follow the Word of God, you're going to be looking into it, and it's going to be showing you the darkness that was in your life, that you were practicing, that you were walking in. Now put it off. And then you turn and you put on Christ and strive to walk in the light as he is the light, in his holiness and purity and kindness and love. If you're willing to make that commitment, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins into Christ. If you're already in Christ and already a child of God, and yet you have gone into sin, please open your eyes. Please open your eyes and see the truth of the reality of where you are. I told you earlier, I used to hate the guilt whippings. But I'm so glad I kept going. Because finally, after a while, I opened up my eyes to face the reality of where I was. And I finally came to myself and I finally came home. I would have never come home if I would have kept my eyes closed away from the Word of God. If you're here this morning and you realize you are separated from God because of your sin, see where you are and go straight into it and deal with it. Come home. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that Jay has selected.
Careless soul.